evening. Welcome to the 33rd session of Mantra Yoga. Eminent scholars, scientists, and philosophers have recognized the profound wisdom and insight that the Bhagavad Gita offers. Henry David Thoreau once commented, "In the morning, I bathe my intellect in the stupendous cosmogonal philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, in comparison with which our modern world and its literature seems puerile and insignificant." There have been many yoga systems promoted in the Western world, especially in this century, but none of them have actually taught the perfection of yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, teaches Arjun directly the perfection of yoga. If we actually want to participate in the perfection of the yoga system in Bhagavad Gita, we will find the authoritative statements of the Supreme Person. Lord Sri Krishna set forth the perfection of all yoga systems to his friend Arjuna. Please make use of the following guidelines to optimize your receptivity and derive maximum benefit from this session. Dedicate the next 40 to 50 minutes exclusively for this purpose. If you have children or pets who might interrupt you, please ensure that they are taken care of for the duration of the session. Please turn off your cell phone and avoid texting or checking it during the session. Please sit with your hands on your knees, palms open, facing upwards with your spine comfortably erect, and close your eyes. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale, relax into this exhalation. Take one more deep breath, and as you exhale, relax even more into this exhalation. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, relax completely into this one. Now please put your hands together in prayer and close your eyes. Repeat after me. Swasti astu Vishvasya Kala Prasiddhatam Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Dhiya Namascha Bhadram Bhajatad Adokshaje Avishyatam No Matir Api Ahituki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing mantra yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence and always remain in his thought.
Continuing with Gita Life, which is a humble attempt to summarize the key insights of the Bhagavad Gita, the aim is to assist listeners in understanding the flow, context, and practical application of this timeless spiritual gem. This presentation prepared by His Holiness Swayam Bhagwan Kesho Maharaj is based on the Bhagavad Gita as it is of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. A book which has transformed thousands of lives, his commentary expertly explains the profound life lessons that Lord Krishna imparts to Arjuna. Our sincere hope is that Gita Life will inspire the listeners to study Srila Prabhupada's full translation, which can answer every question, remove every doubt, and quickly bring one face to face with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But first, recapping what we have covered so far, remember the five topics covered in Gita are: who am I, soul or atma, We are spirit souls. Our physical body is nothing more than a costume. This life is merely one chapter of a much longer story. Next, material world called Prakriti. The world is a cosmic university wired to make us think. Is there a deeper meaning to life? Why are we here? Why are we suffering? Third topic is activities called karma. The law of action and reaction is nature's way to educate and evolve us. Good actions are rewarded, bad actions are punished, and spiritual actions bring real happiness and ultimate freedom. Fourth is time, called Kala in Sanskrit. Our life, the universe, and everything around us moves according to the wheel of time. Time brings death and uncomfortable reality. We naturally seek eternity since our real self is spiritual. And the fifth topic is God or Ishwara. Our human journey is an opportunity to reawaken our eternal relationship with God and return to the spiritual world to establish to eternal bliss. The feeling of doubt can lead us to think about the deeper meanings of life and what our true purpose might be. It's important to take time to think about important decisions even when we are busy. Arjuna justifies his decision not to fight by saying that it would be cruel and heartless to kill so many relatives, friends, and soldiers. Even a first-class kingdom, there will be no happiness without the company of friends and relatives. Third reason he gives, one would surely accumulate bad karma or sins as a result of such brutal killings. And fourth reason he gives, the wholesale killing would destroy the family unit and social structure, wreaking havoc for future generations. Lord Krishna explains how we can use this knowledge in our everyday lives and describes what it looks like when someone fully understands these truths. Dharma includes both our responsibilities in the physical world and our spiritual obligations, and it is essential to fulfill both simultaneously. This means taking care of our duties towards our family, friends, society, as well as our relationship with God, nature, and other souls. It is crucial to prioritize and meet both these obligations in a balanced manner. Being spiritual does not mean renouncing everyday activities and relationships. Lord Krishna clarifies that true renunciation means offering the results of our work to God and acknowledging God as the ultimate authority and beneficiary. When someone works with spiritual consciousness and offers the results to God, they are essentially practicing renunciation. By resisting the temptations of lust and cultivating their spiritual intelligence, we can better navigate life's challenges and pursue our high goals. One may still desire materialistic enjoyment, but now tries to achieve it via religious observations. Chapter 4 is entitled Transcendental Knowledge, which outlines how one can establish our divine connection with God. The universe operates like a university with guidelines set by the divine at time of creation. Lord Krishna appears periodically to restore spirituality and maintain balance in the universe. Transcendental knowledge helps to resolve uncertainties and helps us in balancing one's karmic debts. While negative karma is undesirable, Lord Krishna explains that positive karma also keeps one tied to material existence. Actions performed on a spiritual level have no consequences and are the ones that lead to liberation. Most important sacrifices is overcoming pride and submitting to a true guru. By saving and learning from a guru with sincerity, one's heart becomes open to spiritual knowledge. We are spiritual beings experiencing life as human beings. The path of Karma Yoga allows for spiritual development while still being involved in the world. Lord Krishna says there are three factors that are affecting any activity: the individual soul, the super soul, and material nature. Our desires are sanctioned by God, and material nature provides the means to carry them out. The super soul is present in all living beings. We should see every entity as a temple of God and treat them with respect. We are born empty-handed and leave empty-handed. We become attached to material possessions, causing us distress and suffering. Recognizing that the Supreme Lord is the true owner and we are just caretakers, we can find inner peace. In chapter 6, Lord Krishna explains that Ashtanga Yoga is impractical for self-realization and spiritual perfection. Instead, he tells us that the easiest and most advanced path for achieving self-realization in a world filled with temptation and distraction is Bhakti Yoga. If we control and regulate our mind, it helps us make positive choices that bring us closer to spiritual perfection, peace, tranquility. Otherwise, it causes agitation, confusion, and leads us to act on our lower desires. In chapter 7, we are given the knowledge of the Absolute. Lord Krishna stresses the absolute necessity of hearing from spiritual sources, higher authorities, to grasp cosmic truths. Lord Krishna uses the analogy of pearls on a thread to explain that although God is not visible to us, His presence can be seen through the intricate design of the universe. He also explains that He is the essence of everything in creation, from the taste of order to the abilities of men. Four types of people do not accept God: Namam Duskritano Mura Prapadyante Naradhama Maya Prite Jnana Ashuram Bhava Asrita. Miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Chapter 7, text 15. Then there are four types of people who accept and worship the Lord: Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritano Arjun Artho Jigyasur Arthati Jnani Cha Bharatarasam. The distraught, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Chapter 7, text 16. Simply believing in God is not enough. It is necessary to have good understanding of God's identity. Einstein once said, a religious practice without philosophy was simply sentimental, and in more acute situations, downright fanatic. Just like how you would want a well-informed surgeon for an operation, one must understand the nature and personality of God. In chapter 8, thinking and discussing about death is a sign of wisdom and sanity, as it is a reality that everyone must face. The Bhagavad Gita discusses the four unavoidable predicaments of birth, disease, old age, and death, emphasizing the importance of preparing for death and understanding what happens afterwards. Lord Krishna tells us that a person's state of mind at the time of death reflects their consciousness and aspirations, and those who remember God at that moment will reach the kingdom of God. Lord Krishna concludes by outlining the most effective process to attain the Supreme, which is Bhakti Yoga, the path of active service to God in the mood of devotion, is the most evolved spiritual path. Through Bhakti Yoga, anyone can experience a tangible spiritual connection very quickly. If one can consistently and progressively saturate their consciousness in Krishna, then they can remember him at the time of death and thus attain the supreme destination, regardless of all the technicalities, tales that other spiritual processes may stress. And the ninth chapter is known as King of Knowledge. The Bhagavad Gita's most important teachings are found in its ninth chapter, where Lord Krishna reveals the ultimate knowledge and deepest secrets. This chapter holds the essence of the entire scripture. Lord Krishna explains that the wisdom shared in this chapter is very secret, as it reveals the true nature of the soul in relation to God. Lord Krishna emphasizes that one must be open-minded and faithful to fully understand this knowledge. Faith is necessary to receive this knowledge, not a hindrance. God's qualities and actions are beyond our understanding because they cannot be contained or limited. Lord Krishna explains this by discussing his relationships with the universe and all living beings, showing that his nature is unfathomable and cannot be comprehended through the normal logic. Those who worship the Supreme Personality directly can have a personal relationship with him. Lord Krishna emphasizes that the results of worship depends on one's motivation and understanding. The personal form of God is the highest and most complete manifestation of the Supreme. Just as achieving something greater requires higher qualification, approaching God in a personal way requires complete purity of consciousness without any selfish motives. This purity is demonstrated through selfless devotion and continuous service of God. This state of consciousness, known as Krishna consciousness, is the ultimate goal of the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 11 deals with the universal form of the Lord. The Sanskrit word rupa means form. One of the most heated and theological debates among great thinkers has raged for centuries the question over whether God is personal or impersonal. Some argue that accepting a personal form of God amounts to anthropomorphic projection of our human qualities onto Him. Lord Krishna, however, confirms in numerous passages of the Bhagavad Gita that He manifests in many ways, impersonally and personally. He also categorically states that the personal is the original form and the basis of the impersonal. This is further confirmed in chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita after Lord Krishna displays another of his innumerable forms known as the Vishwarupa or the universal form. The acronym for this chapter is Rupa. R stands for request. Arjuna requests Lord Krishna to reveal his universal form. But what is his purpose in requesting such a vision, especially since he already accepts Krishna as the Supreme Truth? Arjuna doesn't have any personal agenda in seeing the universal form, but requests the vision for other reasons. Firstly, he wants to emphatically prove that Krishna is indeed the source of the entire creation. Furthermore, he establishes a criteria for any future candidates claiming to be God to also manifest such a mystical feat. Unfortunately, our modern world is plagued with so-called incarnations and Godmen claiming to be the latest saviors of society by dint of magical trickery, subtle powers, charismatic conduct, or simply popular vote. U stands for universal form. Lord Krishna grants Arjuna's request and shows his universal form. While God is the source of this universe, he is simultaneously the universe in itself, in the sense that he is present within his own creation. For example, in my shows you can probably understand something about me. The effects of the show tells you something about the cause, the presenter, and in that sense the cause is very much present within the effect. Similarly, God is the source of the universe, but is simultaneously surrounding the universe. That is the universal form. It is not that God is the sum of the parts, but rather that everything is contained within God. P stands for prayers of Arjun. Shocked and frightened, Arjun offers prayers to the universal form. Frightened by the greatness of Lord Krishna, he begs forgiveness for having previously treated him with familiarity and friendship. Most religious traditions endorse this majestic understanding of God. God, who is the infallible creator, controller, and all-knowing authority. It often leads to a fearful exchange with God, lacking intimacy, sweetness, and personal relationship. The God-fearing approach, however, is an elementary stage in our spiritual development. Having seen enough, Arjuna anxiously requests Lord Krishna to once again reveal his two-armed form so that he can again release the intimacy of that interaction. And A stands for armed form. Arjuna requests to see the Manushim Rupa, or the human-like form of Lord Krishna, around whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers, beautified with moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, and whose graceful threefold bending form attracts the minds of his devotees. Ancient Sanskrit texts describe Lord Krishna as Rasovaisaha, the very embodiment of affectionate relationship, loving relish, and transcendental sweetness. God is a person who is full of color, character, and bliss. He knows how to have a good time and is much more interested in relishing the sweetness of pure love than the formal worship of those who approach him in awe and reverence. Robert Einstein once said that when I read the Bhagavad Gita and reflect about how God created this universe, everything else seems so superfluous. Chapter 12. Devotional Service. Although the shortest chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, contains essential insights on the devotional service, Krishna discusses the path of devotion, the stage one may progress through to achieve it, and the qualities of the devotee who has perfected it. God is generally defined as the supreme controller. In this chapter, however, we gain understanding of the more cherished aspect of God's personality and the disposition of the devotee who is fully in love with him. This chapter's acronym is GOD. G stands for Godhead. In response to a question by Arjun, Lord Krishna again picks up the discussion of impersonalism. It seems to be a recurring theme in this text, and one may wonder why. Lord Krishna explains that a personal approach to God through bhakti yoga or devotional service is not only powerful and practical, but more fruitful and satisfying. The very sense of our being is to seek happiness, anandamaye bhasyat. And happiness ultimately lies in relationships. For a relationship to exist, there must be a subject, object, and reciprocity. Impersonal notions of oneness, however, kill all three and therefore cheat the individual of the true happiness we all seek. While those who tread the impersonal path of spirituality undoubtedly receive spiritual merit, the practice is troublesome, the progress is piecemeal, and the rewards are meager. Thus, one reason Srila Prabhupada continually refers to Lord Krishna as the Godhead is to remind us that God is ultimately a person who must be approached as such. O stands for options. In verses 8 to 12, Lord Krishna demonstrates his magnanimity and flexibility. Having delineated the most evolved path of this spirituality, he goes on to offer other options, recognizing that some may be unable to immediately embrace a pure devotional path. Progressively, steps towards such a devotional spirit include the practice of regulated spirituality, worship through one's daily work, offering the charity, and the cultivation of knowledge. The spiritual path is not all or nothing. One can begin their journey according to what is feasible, achievable, and realistic. D stands for devotee's disposition. Lord Krishna concludes the chapter by describing the shining qualities of a devotee that endear him to everyone. As one develops purity of consciousness, traits such as tolerance, determination, satisfaction, and equanimity of mind automatically manifest within one's character. That said, conscientious spiritualists also endeavor to deliberately cultivate such quality as they support one's spirituality and help them progress faster. Devotees endowed with such an attractive and spotless character conquer the heart of Lord Krishna, who becomes bound by their devotion. Such are the dealings within the transcendental realm, where even the unconquerable Supreme Controller becomes a captive of love. We are not trying to motivate people to believe in God. That's necessary school, kids stuff. We are trying to motivate them to become qualified to perceive God, Devamrita Swami. Chapter 30, Nature, the Enjoyer, and the Consciousness. The final six chapters focus on jnana, transcendental wisdom, which aids one's detachment from the material world and subsequent attachment to Lord Krishna. Chapter 13 covers topics previously discussed, but explores them in a more analytical way. Wise readers can take advantage of Krishna's logical presentation to strengthen their conviction and deepen their understanding. Chapter 13 is Akramine, is wise, where W stands for wise questions. Arjuna asked Lord Krishna to define six subjects: Prakriti, that's nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, Kshetra, the field of activities, Kshetragya, the knower of the field, and Jnana, knowledge and the process of knowing, and Geham, the object of the knowledge. These subjects are key constituents of Vedic philosophy, and Lord Krishna therefore spends the entire chapter defining and discussing them. Arjuna, although an established transcendentalist, plays the part of a materially entangled individual, so he can pose questions for the benefit of humanity. His astute inquiries create the opportunity for Lord Krishna to offer answers to life's most profound mysteries. Lord Krishna begins by first defining Kshetra and Kshetragya, items of knowledge. Verses 8 to 12 describe how the Kshetragya, spirit soul, can disentangle himself from the Kshetra, the body, by cultivating Jnana, knowledge. Since transcendental knowledge is revealed within the heart of a deserving person, the real method to acquire it is through the cultivation of divine qualities, of which humility is foremost. Becoming wise is not simply a matter of information and memorization, but intimately connected to personal character and practical behavior. One who nurtures a saintly disposition experiences a change of heart, which invokes profound realization, helping the eternal soul to relinquish its deep-rooted identification with the temporary body. S in wise stands for soul and super soul. Having described Kshetra, Kshetrajna and Jnanam, Lord Krishna now describes Gyaham, the object of knowledge. Knowledge is meant to help one directly perceive the soul and the super soul, who are eternally individual but intimately related. It is a prerogative of the soul to understand the super soul, but the super soul is sometimes described as avigyaham or unknowable. How to reconcile this? Empirical researchers who try to fathom the supreme using mundane logic and material sense perception are invariably baffled, and the super soul remains unknowable to them. Those who approach this subject matter with the proper attitude, however, ready and willing to gain insight through the eyes of spiritual perceptors, can surely be successful. And E stands for enjoyer. This chapter concludes with descriptions of the final two subjects, Prakriti and Purusha. The living entity desire to control and enjoy matter, Prakriti, binds him to the material world. In reality, the super soul is the only enjoyer, and everything material nature and the individual souls is meant for his enjoyment. This, however, does not leave us unhappy or unfulfilled. Pouring water over the root of a tree consequently energizes the trunk, branches and twigs. Feeding the stomach invariably enlivens the senses and the limbs of the entire body. Similarly, offering worship and service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for His pleasure and satisfaction automatically satisfies all living entities, including ourselves. We need not make any separate endeavor for enjoyment. The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. Mark Twain. Chapter 14. The three modes of material nature. In chapter 14, Lord Krishna introduces a very interesting subject known as the three modes of material nature. Three primary qualities penetrate everything we see, hear, taste, touch and smell. Our lifestyle, attitude and behaviors also fall under the domain and influence of these qualities or modes, thus determining our sense of happiness and well-being in life. Through the close analysis, we can perceive how people are functioning with a mistaken sense of free will, when in actuality they are being impelled and influenced by these three modes at every moment. Therefore, unless one is able to transcend these modes of nature, they imperfectibly trap one in this material world, life after life. And this chapter is acronym as TRAP. T stands for three modes. Mode is a translation of the Sanskrit word guna. The three modes influence a personal character, behavior and mentality, thus binding them to a certain quality of life. For example, if goodness, sattva, predominates, one will aspire for and generally achieve long-term happiness even if one is subjected to temporary inconvenience. The person impelled by passion or rajas strives for instantaneous short-term gain and doesn't expect much more out of life. And finally, the person dominated by ignorance or tamas rarely achieve happiness at all, having little sense of direction and drive in their life. In this way, the material world is populated by living entities who are influenced by various configurations of these modes. R stands for race for prominence. Just as three primary colors are mixed to generate a variety of tones, combinations of the three modes can form an unlimited variety of individual personalities and psychologies. Furthermore, the modes continually compete with one another for supremacy within an individual. Even within the cycle of a single day, different modes may achieve prominence at different times. As a general rule, goodness clarifies and pacifies the individual since it invokes satisfaction, wisdom, altruism, and kindness. Passion is said to confuse and agitate the individual by provoking qualities like greed, anger, and frustration. Ignorance is said to obscure and impede one's life, symptomized by apathy, laziness, and inertia. I stands for actions in the modes. Reincarnation is the process by which a soul receives a new material body on the basis of activities performed and consciousness cultivated in the present body. Our activities are a result of the decisions we make, and our decisions are ultimately based on the modes we are being influenced by. Thus, Lord Krishna predicts the future destination of an individual based on the predominant mode in their life. In short, those situated in goodness are promoted to higher planets. Those in passion remain on the earthly planets. Those in ignorance degrade themselves to the hellish world. And P in trap stands for pure life. Through these various descriptions, we can assess combination of modes we are perfectly affected by. Although goodness is said to be the purest form of existence in this world and in many ways beneficial for spiritual practice, it still implicates one in the law of karma. To completely rid oneself of karmic reaction, the spiritualist should use goodness as a springboard to elevate themselves to the spiritual platform known as pure goodness or Shuddha Sattva. This is possible by engaging in bhakti yoga with unflinching determination, taking inspiration and support from those who have already transcended the three material modes. Lord Krishna explains the shining character of such a perfect transcendentalist who enjoys nectar even in this life. We become average when we are too busy, too arrogant, or too comfortable to keep learning, growing, and improving from an unknown source. Please remember, this is not about preaching yoga or meditation to you. This is not a philosophy either, nor is the teaching. This is a method. This is a technology. This is something that you need to participate in by doing it and learn to use it. This is a very practical process of self-transformation. This is an experimental process. This is not something that you just listen, but you need to do it. Remember, this is something that you experience and make it a part of yourself. So there are a few things that are necessary for you to make use of this program. Please sit with your spine comfortably erect. You may use a chair. Use a comfortable backrest but no headrest. Place your hands upon your thighs, facing upwards, loosely placed. Close your eyes. Sit comfortably. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale, relax into it. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, relax even more into it. Take one more deep breath. This time the relaxation should be total. Now tense your feet. Your feet alone. Tense, tense, tense. Relax. Tense your calf muscles. Calf muscles only. Above your ankle. Below the knee. Tense, tense, tense. Relax. Now tense your thigh muscles. Tense, 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 and relax. Your hip and stomach muscles. Tense, 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 and relax. Now tense the muscles on your chest, shoulders, on your back. Tense, tense, tense. Hold the tension and relax. Tense both your arms. Tense, tense. Make your fist and create tension. Tense, tense, and relax. Tense your neck muscles. Tense, 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 and relax. Tense the muscles on your face and the back of your head. Make a face and create tension. Tense, 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 and relax. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale, relax. Feel relaxation spreading right through your body, from the top of your head down to your toes. Move your attention to the top of your head. Move it to your forehead, to your throat, center of your chest, to your stomach, to the base of your belly, into your thighs, knees, calf muscles, ankle, feet, and toes. Now move it upwards. Feet, ankle, calf muscles, thigh, base of your belly, up further up into the chest, into the throat, face, forehead, top of your head. Forehead, back to your throat, center of your chest, to your stomach, to the base of your belly, into your thighs, knees, calf, ankle, feet, toes. Move it upward. Feet, ankle, calf muscles, thigh, base of your belly, up, further up into the chest, into the throat, face, forehead, top of your head. Naturally, from time to time, the mind will wander, and this is completely fine. What we must do is gently guide the mind back to the breath. Continue the normal breathing. And now we begin to recite the mantra. It is a very gentle mantra. It is called Maha Mantra. Maha means great, so this is the great mantra. I will tell you the meaning and greatness of this mantra later. This mantra has only three names, Hare, Krishna, and Rama, combined to give 16 names of the Universal Lord. It combined like this. Please repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pronounce each name correctly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please pronounce each name correctly and hear your voice. While chanting, just focus on your voice and listen to each name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now we'll chant together complete mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now let's follow the music and sing along.
Krishna. Krishna.